Broadcasting from InnieUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's November 7th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. Scott, we have a new president elect for the United States.
We do. And now you are, I'll put you on the spot a little bit here. You were watching the election returns via chat.
Right, we were.
As we often do, because we can't stand to be in the same room for more than just a podcast each week. And you said that the election, election of Obama was good for poker.
Right.
I didn't necessarily disagree, but, you know, I've been thinking about that more since then. And I don't know whether we really know that yet, do we?
Well, here's the thing, Scott. Whether or not poker is going to flourish from this, we do know that the Republican ticket said, you know, on their agenda or whatever, was that they were against online gambling, and that was one of the things they were going to try to take down. And McCain signed on with that. And whether Obama did or not remains to be seen, but the Democratic Party does not have that as their goal or one of their goals in this this upcoming.
So your good for poker is that the threat of more restrictions is less.
Yes,
that's the good part of it. Not necessarily that Obama's going to take his state house poker game and start dealing in the Oval Office and invite us over. Okay,
no.
All right,
and
that makes sense.
The other thing too, you know, you think about the Democrats who are for online poker regulation, like Wexler and those guys.
They're
all Democrats, and he fits right into that, obviously, being a Democratic president. So, and he's a great card player. You know, and I know McCain's a gambler, but I wouldn't consider him a poker player as much as I would Obama.
And before the election, somebody did a tail of the tape, you know, how they always do those kind of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I forget what newspaper it was, but it was a pretty long tail of the tape, so long that they actually included gambling in it. And on poker, Obama's ledger, it was poker, and on McCain's, it was slots and blackjack, which I thought was kind of funny because you always hear people talk about how he's a craps player.
Craps player. I was thinking, I was going to interrupt you and say craps.
They left that out. But, you know, the headline on Pocket 5 right after the election was election results largely promising for online poker. And, of course, you know, they quickly mentioned that Obama was elected. But then they go into the congressional races, which probably are far more important for us.
Yes.
And it sounds like most of the gambling proponents out there are returning, and some of the opponents got sent home.
And I haven't checked like the PPA website to see what they're weighing in on. Obviously, I think that they were, even though Alphonse D'Amato was, you know, stumping for McCain or whatever, I still think that the as an overall plan, I think the PPA is probably happy that Obama won, right?
I checked their site this morning because I wanted to see whether they had something up, and nothing jumped out at me, and, you know, I'm a short attention span, born in the 80s kind of kid, so if it jumps out at me, I'm not necessarily going to fish around for it.
You were born in the 70s.
Yeah, but I grew up in the 80s.
You grew up in the 80s. Condensed
the viewing attention span down to just a three-hour video.
But again, I stick to my initial, you know, view of this and think that it is a good thing for online poker and for poker in general, and I hope that it results in more online rooms being able to open up, and they drop the UIEGA, and then you know, it'll just flourish again and have another like a reboom or a rebirth of poker. I think that's gonna happen. I think eventually someone's gonna wake up and go, this is ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's gonna be with a Democratic president. So I'm happy for poker, you know.
It was kind of a mixed bag on the election on gambling things around the country, too. Poker necessarily wasn't on the ballot in a lot of places, but casinos got trounced in, certainly the Ohio one got blown out of the water, and I believe one up in Maine. Massachusetts lost a big one on dog racing.
Right.
But a couple other ones. Missouri's going to have a lottery now. Because, you know, that's a good skill game to be introduced to the populace. And it sounded like some restrictions in Colorado were listed on a couple of places. So
excellent.
Hit or miss. But, you know, also, we found a website, pokernews.com, in the spirit of the election the day before. Printed a couple of short summaries on our past presidents who enjoyed our favorite game. And I think we probably know some of this stuff. You probably remember that Good old Richard Nixon, a Republican, by the way, funded his entire congressional campaign playing poker.
Just real quick, if Richard Nixon was alive today and running for office, he would be a Democrat.
That's true.
The way he is back then, what a Republican was then, today is probably what a Democrat. He'd probably be either a Democrat or an independent. So just anyway. But yeah, and the other one too was the famous president was it Truman, right?
Yeah, yeah. The whole buck stops here was him.
Yeah. Yep.
And
exactly.
The buck is the button.
Yep.
Or the puck if you're Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was actually playing cards when they were plotting when to drop the bomb in Hiroshima or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Something like that, yes.
I think that was the history of poker series.
Well, I know in the movie they said that he was playing cards when he found out that Roosevelt died, too.
Yeah.
But you know how the movies are always very accurate.
Yeah, of course.
But you went all the way back to George Washington. We talked about George Washington. We've had him on the show once or twice before. You know,
yeah, he always throws his teeth in the middle when he's got the nuts.
Yeah,
his
wooden
teeth.
But he didn't necessarily play poker, they said, but he did enjoy gambling and cards.
Cool.
And then they also mentioned Warren Harding, who I think
was
Ohioans would
so it's good
kind of wish we could move him to another state. He was not at the top of the list of the good presidents. But, you know, he had a poker cabinet, this is.
Wow.
That's the kind of cabinet meetings I want to go to.
No, we don't go to meetings anymore, Scott. Just me and you. True. We don't have to go to meetings. So from some political things to some more political things, this story just won't go away. The Merge Network, which underneath that umbrella you'll remember maybe as Iron Duke and TexasHold'em.com and Carbon Poker, the Merge Network now is blocking Kentucky players from its sites because of the wacky governor there who seized all those domain names.
Crazy, crazy governor. Boy, we feel bad for all of our listeners up in Kentucky. It is just
it's unbelievable.
Crazy. Absolutely.
It really is unbelievable, and I feel bad. But the big guys are still there. You know, Doyle Brunson said that his legal advisor said, state has little hope of winning this, so just keep doing what you're doing. So, you know, you don't fool a big papa. You know what I'm saying?
But, you know, here's the thing, and I am often the optimist in our yin and yang here, and
yes,
you're often the pessimist.
That is true.
And I'm finding more and more situations where that's reversing, and it's very disconcerting.
Yeah, that's scary.
Disconcerting.
But you know what,
though? That big word I pulled out. Disconcerting.
But you know what, though? We've had our most successful month ever, so maybe this is the right formula. Maybe I need to be optimistic and you need to be pessimistic for us to succeed in this damn venture of ours.
But, you know, my point is, you know, Doyle is, he's talking a big talk, and I'm happy to hear it. I love to hear that he's, he's got his legal team on this, and they're working, they're going to crush it. But, the whole thing with the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act, too, wasn't necessarily that it was a good law, and as far as good as being, you know, sound,
right.
It became such a huge irritant that people had to fight it and use a whole lot of resources to fight it that ultimately hurt their business. Or some of them just said, you know, screw it, I'm leaving. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily take a, you know, hey, my legal advisors say we're going to win on this for it to be a victory. Kind of weird, right?
Well, right. But you'll remember, too, that Doyle's room only pulled out of America because his software program got nervous and pulled out. It wasn't him. It wasn't his choice.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is obviously whatever money Doyle's room or these other online sites have put towards the legal, I mean, even just to analyze what the crazy Kentucky governor is doing, is money that's being wasted.
Yeah.
And ultimately is serving the purpose of the Kentucky governor to make them, to misdirect them or to... You
know. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And so it's a loss, even though eventually it sounds like poker will win.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just another thing for us to try to deter us. And it's not going to happen. You don't mess with someone from Longview, Texas. You know what I'm saying?
Fortunately, I've not been put in that situation where I've had to figure that out.
All right, well, a big week coming up. The World Series final table's coming up, and some interesting stuff coming out of there. I think that you had an article that you saw with about Dennis Phillips, the chip leader, right?
He's still going to work, Chris.
That's
not
awesome.
Often, but he's going, and it sounds like he's got a good boss that says, you know, hey, this is an event of a lifetime for him, so I'm not going to, get out the employee manual and dock him for his making sure he's showing up. But he's been doing some training, and of course, he's remember we talked about the auction where he sold a patch, and The winner was the Schindler Law Firm of St. Louis.
Oh.
Paid $19,000, and all that money goes to the good MS Foundation.
Awesome.
And, you know, so it's just interesting to see what these guys are doing. He's actually been working with poker coaches Roy Winston and Joe McGowan of Oracle Poker Consulting. Because we talked about this at the beginning. We thought, you know, all these players are going to run and get training, and or whether they were or not, whether they had too much of an ego and say, hey, I'm at the final table. I don't need any training.
Well, I applaud Dennis for this because I have to admit, I think that of all the players, he probably hurts the most from this long layoff.
Exactly.
Because and I wish this was my idea, but it's really not. I got a quote from Norman Chad of ESPN sent to us from the WSOP PR people, and he had given like a quote about every player.
Right.
And he said, and I agree with him, that Dennis Phillips is probably getting hurt the most because he had such momentum, and he feels that
exactly.
poker is really a game of momentum. He was on his game, and now all these guys have time to either, you know, play their game, change their game, whatever they choose to do. And here's this amateur who went on a huge heater and now had to take a 117-day break. So I applaud him for trying to get better than what he was, because he's totally honest about it. He knows, you know, he's glad all those people who signed his hat are out,
yeah.
because he knows that they're better than he is. And I still think that he's going to take it down, Scott.
Well, yeah, and Danny Sheridan, the odds maker he was today, has him a 3-1 favorite with the second guy in chip, Ivan
Demidov. Yeah, that guy's got an incredible run going.
So they're both 3-1, but then the next two are 4-1. So obviously, Danny Sheridan puts a high premium on chip stack.
Yeah,
not that that's a bad thing to put your high premium.
I think I'm going to pull with Dennis Phillips. I'm not pulling for anyone. I mean, I would love to see Chino Ream win because he's from our area and we did a cover story on him and I have access to the guy. But I think Dennis is probably going to pull it out. He's got a huge stack, and I like the way he goes about his game, and this now what you just talked about just totally, you know, ensures that. I think that he's going to be ready, and he's got the stack to do it. He's going to swing a big stack. So.
And then Darius Suharto.
Yeah, Suharto.
Who's in sixth place.
Yeah.
He's been getting trained by Eric Lynch.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, he's young.
Yeah.
Eric Lynch knows, you know, how to play the online game. He, and of course, live game Risen, as they call him. But you know what? It's my dream to play in the World Series main event someday, but there are other dreams that can be attained these days. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's a new concept out there, a new company, and I've actually traded emails with the CEO. They're hoping to eventually get here to Florida. But right now they're launching it in Las Vegas. It's going to be this weekend. I believe it might even be Sunday.
Okay.
Out at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas, you know, that new
the
room's
new
open,
Rock,
and they're
yeah.
really trying hard to build some buzz there.
Yep.
And they've got a huge Hollywood celebrity-studded tournament. It's actually Saturday the 8th. 25 three-person teams. It's a team tournament, Chris.
Oh, that is wild.
Now, we've played in a team tournament once before at a local room, and it was interesting as a novelty, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to do a team tournament, I think, really.
Yeah.
And make it work, so you protect the integrity of the game,
yeah.
but at the same time make it a team sport.
I could see it being like a doubles thing, but a whole team, that's pretty wild. That's, you know, you got so many personalities and playing styles mixing there. You really got to find the right chemistry to be able to have those little huddled conversations about your ace king or, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was a cross country runner in high school, so that was kind of a fake team sport, I called it, because we had teams and everybody ran and then they just totaled the points. So I guess you could do it that way. But this format, and it's patent pending, of course, those fabulous words that you like to hear.
Yep.
And it's going to be, it's traditional no limit Hold'em, Texas, Hold'em tournament. Not Nebraska Hold'em tournament. but the way it works out is you get paid out based both on your individual performance as yeah. well as the team performance. So you can make money both ways.
So it's kind of like the Matrix tournament.
Exactly.
Where you do well individually in one individual tournament, but also overall.
But probably a lot less aspirin and Tylenol needed. but they are also allowed, teams are allowed timeouts, two timeouts per the tournament.
It's like one of them a 30-second timeout where you have to touch your shoulders. 30-second
right.
timeout.
You know, as you catch your card right before it goes in the box, you grab it. but no, teams are allowed two timeouts. They get one more if one of the members makes the final table. And when they call timeout, any of their teammates who have already busted out are allowed to come and talk to them about the hand that's in progress.
Do you get a red flag that you can put inside your sock? And if you disagree with the floor person's ruling, you can throw it onto the felt. Say, I want to go upstairs to the camera in the sky and have them review that that guy really had the 6-7 of hearts and raised under the gun with it.
That could be. But I don't know. What do you think about this?
I think it's pretty fun. I mean, you know, poker, why poker is still around these days is because it always evolves. And I think this is something that can only help. It can't hurt. You know, I mean, that's what makes it so interesting is that poker it will never just be this concrete thing. It's always going to grow. It's a living, kind of like the Constitution. It's like a living document.
Ah, very good.
You can always adjust and change and make it more interesting or less interesting depending on your market. So I think that team poker, hey, I know they had that with, remember when Kenna James won, he had the team with Scotty Wynn and all those guys. They had that little... that bowl, whatever that, remember that, whatever that was. So, I mean, you know, they have it before and it seemed to do pretty well. It's just a matter of someone grabbing onto the idea and making it interesting enough. It'd be cool. I can, you know, cause it kind of reminds me of that Ultimate Bet Best Damn Poker show where they have kind of like teams and they huddle together and they talk and stuff. That'd be kind of cool. You know, you can get inside the huddle and hear what they have to say about how, so you kind of learn a lot from it too. You might learn a lot from their thought processes and everything. And I like it.
Yeah. And they also have some, rules in place to do what they can to keep teammates from being at the same table as long as possible. Eventually, you know, obviously, if your team is really good, you're going to be at the same table.
Right. They have like the
world. They don't want signals and stuff like that. They want you to use your timeouts if you're going to communicate.
Yeah. Same thing with like the World Cup that they had, the Poker World Cup, you know, where they made Tony G cry.
But it's $1,000 buy-in per person, $3,000 for team, and some of that money goes to the team prize, some goes to the individual
team
prize.
Team ante up.
Exactly. That's what we need to get. Of course, we need to come up with...
someone will put us in.
Yeah. Maybe they get it down to $100 per person.
We have any angel investors out there who want to put out team ante up?
But the first one sold out, so even if we got to wait for the next one.
Oh, forget it. I'm not going to do it now.
But it's pretty star-studded. They got Erica Schoenberg. It's going to be there.
Yeah,
and Jamie Gold. And your buddy Jean Robert, Don't Call Me Bobby, Ballon.
That's a mouthful right
there,
buddy.
Exactly. And then a couple TV stars and Sam Simon.
Oh, Sam Simon, the guy from the Simpsons.
Yep.
Who went pretty far. And he was married to Jen Tilly, right?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. You didn't know that.
And my all-time favorite, Yancey Arias from Knight Rider. The new Knight Rider. And I said my new favorite because she's not the hot chick, so she must be one of the other hot chicks. So I don't really know who she is, but
I don't know.
I'm rooting for anybody that's in the new Knight Rider.
All I know is if Kit is on one team, Carr has to be on the other team. That's my extent of Knight Rider knowledge.
Yeah, and you only knew that on the drive over.
Do you know David Hasselhoff is huge in Germany? All right.
And, you know, if you're David Hasselhoff, you don't have to worry about getting your dates. You know, as long as they're happy with hamburgers for dinner. But some of the other of us, you know, before we were married.
I can't believe you remember that damn YouTube video of him drunk eating a hamburger.
But those of us who are not married, and that's not me or you, but...
people who are looking for dates.
Ostensibly, there are listeners in the Antioch Nation who are single and looking for a little love.
Well, half of our listeners are IT guys, so obviously they're
single. Oh, man, you always pick on them.
I'm just joking.
They have the power to take our show down.
Hey, Irwin's married. I'm joking. Gambit's married. I'm just kidding. Please, no hate mail.
Man.
Although, you know, we haven't gotten a lot of mail from anybody lately, so... you can send me hate mail.
All right,
if you want.
So you and hate mail. Just
I'm trying to tick off everybody in the Antioch Nation.
All right, but anyhow,
right, let's get back to this.
A week or two ago, we mentioned PKR.com.
Yes.
And of course, it's not open to us Americans.
No.
And, you know, Obama will
change that.
You know, I guess if you're an American looking for a date, you need to go through eHarmony or Match.com or something. You don't have this wonderful thing. You know, PKR.com, and I'll refresh our listeners' memory, is kind of like the 3D kind of poker room where you kind of got an avatar that kind of like lives and breathes.
Yeah.
But they are now having what singles night, you're telling me, right?
I guess that's what it says here. I mean, that's pretty wild. And aren't they're the ones that like... they can make the avatar do things.
Yeah.
Right? So like you could like wink at the person across from you or lick your lips or
yeah.
Or if you really want to date, you lick your eyebrows.
Really?
Yeah, if you can lick your eyebrows, you're gonna get dates. So you make your avatar lick your eyebrows and you're golden.
No,
you asked me about this dream team and whether I liked it or not, but poker and dating.
You're not down with that.
I don't think I'm sold on that one. If they want to take a full-page ad out in our magazine, I love it. But Right now, I'm looking at it thinking, this is pretty weird.
Well, see, it didn't work out for Miami in the tilt, right? You know, where she was she was flirting with that guy, and then he didn't take too kindly and found out she wasn't really flirting. Of course, I guess it's probably safer when you're on PKR.com because you can't, you know, throw you against the wall. And
plus, you know, you'd have to drag the mouse over the avatar and say, oh, man, she's from Austria. I can't date her. I'm over here in London.
Hey, I would fly to Austria. Give me her, you know.
Yeah, man.
No?
If you're in London and she's in Austria, you know.
Then you can just take a cab, right?
Yeah.
All Europe is that close, right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's her uncle. You know what I'm saying? That's a scary thing. But anyway, I'm not sure I'm done with that. I think I'd stick with eHarmony here.
Okay.
Although eHarmony is pretty strict.
Now, what if you rolled your mouse over to the fetching young woman and found out that she was from Omaha?
Well, that'd
maybe
be good,
an area code in Omaha that begins with 8, as in Omaha 8.
Well, if it was Omaha 8, then I would know that we were at Tampa Bay Downs, the Silk's Poker Room, because they now have Any Up Omaha Night.
Yeah, it's very true. We, you know, they've been trying like the Dickens to get these non-hold'em games going in these local car rooms. And for our folks that are not from Florida, it's just a devil of a time to get anything but no-limit hold'em going because of the state's really restrictive laws here.
Right.
But we're giving credit for the Silks. They're trying to get it going. And they're having two tournaments a day on the second Wednesday of every month. $100 buy-in. And don't forget your $5 deal or toke like Chris did.
Yeah, I did not mean to do that.
Yeah, so bring that
bring
that
cash.
Exactly.
I was going to a free roll. You'd be going to a tournament that requires cash. It's a lot different if you have to have cash on you. I was coming from a picnic.
Ah, okay.
I had fried chicken in my pocket.
Yeah, you could have brought a watermelon or something.
Yeah, I had fried chicken in my
pocket. How much will you give me for this?
Here, dealer, here's your tip.
But anyhow, the night tournament on the second Wednesday of every month at the Soaks Card Room.
Is Annie
Campus
up.
/ Oldmar will be the Ante Up Omaha night.
And you're going
to
be there.
I will be there to play. At some point, we will get Chris fake drunk, since you don't drink.
Fake drunk.
And get you out there.
Sniffing glue on my way to the Silks.
But we'd love to see any Annie Upper show up and match wits with us.
I'm going
to
try to get
structure.
Scott.
It's a good structure.
I'm going to try to get Scott to bring his camera and take a photo, which he never does for me for the magazine.
Well, seeing the problem is I last so long in these tournaments.
You get a break.
When I get a break, I call you and tell you about the hand that is scooped.
The bad beat that knocked you out and how you went all in 6 times with ace 5 and got the low somehow. But that's great. I love it when we participate with our local rooms. And, of course, we'll probably do stuff with state rooms as well. It's just a matter of, you know, us finding the time to get there. And
the rooms being creative and asking us to do things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's 50-50 here. They got to, you know, give and take, right? Help us out a little bit. I mean, it's halfway.
You know, and speaking of creative, though, you know, the good old Cafe Press folks let us be as creative as we like.
That's true.
In designing T-shirts and other good gads.
Man,
for the holiday season.
We're on fire with the segues today. This is incredible. It's like a flawless show. So listen to this. So over the weekend, my wife did the breast cancer walk.
Yes, raised lots of money.
Very good cause. Her feet were all blistered, but she's doing great. And so her brother drove over from West Palm Beach and stayed with us while he could go out and see her walking and see her and everything. So on the final day, we're like, all right, you ready to go? And he says, yeah, hang on a second. I got to go and change. I said, all right. And he comes out wearing an Annie Up shirt from he went and bought the Annie Up Florida's Poker Magazine.
Excellent.
White t-shirt with the red lettering. And it looked sweet.
Did it really? Very good.
I was shocked how nice it looked. Because I'm so cheap, I don't even buy my own shirt. and on the back, it had our email address. And it was just sweet looking. So I think that everyone else out there should enjoy this product because it really was a nice T-shirt and it held up really well. So
very good. And very soon we are adding a whole podcast section. We've been kind of neglectful in that
as we
got the magazine going. But we will put some podcast-specific stuff on there for those of you that don't necessarily want to associate yourself with the Great Sunshine State.
Right.
But would rather associate yourself with the
great the podcast.
Every Friday podcast
that's
downloaded
right.
for free right to your iPod.
Why go state when you can go global? Hey, I hear our phone ringing. The DB Dealer Hotline. Here's the phone number, 813-448-1120. Don't call it now because we won't answer. It's not a live show.
But, you know, we generally never answer because it goes straight to
That is true. Goes straight to voicemail. But if you do call and we use your clip on the show, we will send you a deck of cards from DB Dealer, and they're plastic, and they got fire on them. But let's listen to this clip. It's from Don.
I played in a live horse tournament the other night and was lucky enough to win it. but I noticed something interesting, and I wasn't sure how to exploit it. The tournament lasted about 3.5 hours with 20-minute levels. I think we played Omaha 3 times and Stud 8 twice. And in the hour and 40 minutes of the split pot games, I only saw 5 pots that actually got split. Some hands were legitimate scoops, but many times there was just no low hand. When you see this happen, how can you take advantage? Do you think this shows one-dimensional play where people were not looking for lows, or do you think it showed players starting with bad hands and just drawing too long for the low? It's a pretty short tournament, pretty fast, so by the time you notice the trend, the tournament's almost over. But looking back, it just makes me wonder.
Without seeing like the total hands and starting hands, it's really hard to say. But I guess I can offer an alternative to what he was thinking. It could be tight play. It could be people playing tight and playing proper, you know, starting hands.
Yeah.
That's the only alternative I can offer to him. But generally, it could be that people just don't understand the game and they're not getting there and they're folding on the end.
Well, you know, I think he makes a couple of good points about horse tournaments beyond his question. Is one, regardless of the structure, unless you're at maybe probably the $50,000 buy-in at the World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
So the split pot games and the stud games are much slower, and you're not going to get a whole lot of hands in for those.
Right.
And so I think it's probably an anomaly in some sense that you saw very few scoops.
I agree.
You probably didn't have enough body of work there to.
Right.
And then he's right. You know, even if you do notice it, by the time you do notice it, what are you going to do to adjust? I mean,
exactly.
Wait for the next time around, but. It's a short tournament, only a bit, what,
3 hours
or so?
Yeah, and he said that they only played a total of 5 rounds of split pot games. I think it was 3 Omaha and 2 stud 8s. So really, I mean, how many times were you going to see a split pot anyway, especially when they're slow in the stud portion of it? I think that it could have been an anomaly.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1-Minute Mystery. The Case of the Roundhouse Punch. It's a multi-table, no-limit knockout tournament, and we are only at level 2. The mid-position player calls, the cutoff calls, and the button min raises to 160. At this point, I look down at 9-9 in the small blind. I'm going to call here. I've got a pair. I'm looking to flop a big set. And I don't expect the 2 limpers to come back over the top at this point.
I don't think that is enough to knock a man out cold.
The big blind calls the raised bet, and our original 2 limpers call, and 5 players are going to see a flop of 9 of spades, queen of spades, 5 of spades. Uh-oh. I flopped a set, but on an all-flush board. And we're first to act, and with so many players to the pot, I think I want to check to see how much action this board gets and possibly, hopefully, play for a smaller pot.
But there were too many witnesses, and he had to wait.
I check. The big blind checks. The mid-position player shoves all in and has everyone covered. The cutoff folds. And the button calls with his short stack, and now it's back to me.
That is a big decision.
So, do I want to play for all my chips and the big blind still to act?
Okay, now here's the interesting thing. You know, last week he wasn't around because I think Columbo took all the money from his win.
Yeah, that big huge win, that 7K plus.
And he blew it all on like cheap cigars and used cars because now he's back this week. We don't know where he was last week, but he's back this week. And you know what, though? I think he's still a little hungover from his vacation because this hand is actually a hand that he used in the magazine a couple of issues ago. So we have to refrain from reacting because we know exactly what happens in the hand. But it doesn't mean you guys have to. Hook up on the AnnieUp forums at AnnieUpMagazine.com/forum and look for my recap of the 1-Minute Mystery and weigh in, see what you think, and see where he is in this hand, and then we'll have part 2 next week.
This is Paul Wasika, and you're listening to AnnieUp, and you can check out my website at quickfish.com.
Are you looking for different ways to build your bankroll, decrease your variance, move up in limits, or discuss strategy? GetAStake.com has your back. At GetAStake.com, you can get staked into games and tournaments, or just hang out and have some fun. GetAStake.com even has live voice chat. Sign up using the referral code ANTIUP to enjoy special promotions just for ANTIUP listeners. And read more about GetAStake.com in the November issue of ANTIUP magazine. GetAStake.com has your back. So Brandon Cantu has won more than $2.3 million in poker tournaments over his short career, including, Scott, a World Series of Poker bracelet and a WPT event. And, you know, only a handful of people have done that.
Yeah, not very many.
So he's definitely in some elite company. And he's only 27. So from Las Vegas, Nevada, Brandon Cantu. Brandon, thanks for joining us on the ANTIUP Nation today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know, normally when we have a guest on like you, you know, we sort of build to some sort of climactic moment. You know, we'll ask you how long you've been playing poker or if you're surprised how well you're doing, yada, yada. But not today. Let's get right to it. Let's talk about 10-5 offsuit. Is that okay with you?
Yep, that's good. I knew that'd be the first question. I was like, go ahead.
So for those of our listeners who may not know, could you tell them a little bit about the hand we're talking about on day 6 of the World Series main event this year and what your thought process was?
My thought process was, first of all, in the hand, it's so different when you watch stuff on TV compared, you know, because it's all edited. It's edited to how it looks, or just it's kind of edited in its own way. But, I mean, it's still, I'm going to say before I describe the hand, like, going back, I wouldn't do the same thing.
Okay.
But it's not, but I don't think it's as bad as people think. Because when people see it, it's just like, oh my God, it's just terrible. That's usually what people think. So, first of all, I was kind of watching the table out of my peripheral vision when, and the guy was looking at his cards before it was his turn. And I thought I could kind of see, like, if he had a really strong hand, you know, before, or by the how he was looking at his cards and how people were reacting. So he checked his cards, and for some reason, I just thought he was weak. And so I thought I wasn't going to make this play until it actually came down to what I thought I saw.
Right.
So I thought he was weak when the first guy raised. He raised it to 300,000. I raised. I made it $1 million. The next guy then goes all in for a total of 2.4 million.
Wow.
So it was the guy from the cutoff that raised, and I'm raising from the button. Now, I have like a pretty crazy image. It's not like I was a real tight player that is making this move. I'm trying to think of a real tight person to throw in, you know, where they only just raise with really solid hands. I was getting creative, making a lot of moves. So people knew I didn't have to necessarily have anything. And this is my thought process. So when the guy then moves all in, I just don't think you have to have aces or kings right there.
Right.
I thought you could easily have ace king, ace queen, even like nines or eights or something like in that range.
Right.
You know, just trying to catch me bluffing. Which, so I went and took a chance. It was 1.4 million, or there was about 2.2 million in the pot, and it was about 1.4 million for me to call when it comes down to it. So
right.
I decided there was a good chance that he had ace king or something like that. So I went and took a chance, and you know, I really wish I wouldn't have,
right,
obviously going back. But that was kind of my thinking behind it.
Okay. You know, some of the comments you made on TV made it seem like you really believe in things like destiny. Like when you're saying, you know, I run really good, and that's usually not the mantra for pro players. They're usually more calculated like that. Are there really occasions when you think you're destined to win like that?
Yeah, I think so. I had actually got it in bad a lot of times in that tournament. Again, because of my aggressive style and my nature, I got it in bad a lot of times, and I just thought maybe it could happen again.
Okay.
Yeah, so that call with 10-5 seemed to combine your gut feelings with math. Is there ever a moment where you ignore the math and just fold? Like if you were getting 3-1 on your money in a cash game, but it would cost you a third of your net worth to call a 10-5, would you still do it?
Yeah, in situations like that, I would fold. I just for the situation of the time, I just didn't think he had to have that big of a hand.
Okay.
In a cash game, something like that, it would have been a completely different scenario. It's just the time, you know, and I really didn't know that much about my other opponent either. That didn't help.
Now, in our eyes, you're having a fantastic year. You know, you won the Bay 101 Shooting Star. You played unbelievably well at the Wynn Poker Classic. You're on the cover of Bluff Magazine in October. But would you say, in your estimation, that the way you went out in the main event soured your year?
Yeah, I actually, in my article on Bluff, I wrote about that. I was really upset. Like I did not even play close to my best poker, like compared to Bay 101. In Bay 101, I thought I played unbelievable at that final table, you know, just played great. And the main event, I made a lot of errors. Like I really shouldn't even have got 20th place. I really made that many errors.
Wow.
Wow, really?
And you know, sometimes you're running good. I was really running good during the main event in a lot of situations where I'd get it in bad, come out good. But, you know, that's how poker is, situations like that. But it really took a lot, and I was really upset. Like, I mean, after I busted out of that tournament, I was in tears. Like, I couldn't believe that I could blow a situation like that.
Wow.
And, you know, it really did a lot. Like, I was completely, it took a lot. I don't know. It just completely took a lot out of me. I was really, really depressed after it. And, you know, I don't know. I'm a lot better, you know. It's hard to watch. That main event coverage for me is really hard to watch.
So obviously it was hard to deal with. So you seem like someone who's never happy with your success anyway. You always want more. Will this motivate you now?
Yeah, this did motivate me, and I really thought I was going to win a tournament right after that ended. I just really did, and I made actually a couple of good runs at it, but just never did, or at least up to this point, haven't won anything yet, which I still think I'm due to win something soon.
Excellent.
Or not due, maybe due is the right word, but I still do think I'm going to win something else.
No, Brandon, we've had some fun on the show about Vancouver, British Columbia, on a trip I took up there, but you're from Vancouver, Washington. Do people often mistake you for being Canadian?
No, not really. I just in that one, like, every once in a while, if you say Vancouver, you follow it up with Washington.
Yeah.
Not that often. And I usually will straighten it out right away.
You know, I read in that Bluff article as well, and I have to have you tell us about the home games and blackjack games you played when you were a kid, because, I mean, I got to tell you, the money you played for then, I think, would blow a lot of people's minds. Can you tell us about that and some of the stakes you played for?
Yeah, just when I was really young, like, I was like 8 or so, I was playing, like, blackjack with my grandpa, which he would kind of give me the money. It's not kind of play with him playing poker games. And then, but I was still playing for that stakes, and he would let me, like, keep what I want.
Wow.
And so it really kind of got my gambling, it got my gambling juices flowing at, like, a pretty young age.
Wow, that's a great grandfather, man.
Yeah. Seriously, I was thinking back now on how high stakes, like, $20 a hand is, because, you know, that was like almost 20 years ago.
Oh, God. That's still like, you know, 10 times what I would want to play for online. I mean, that's just insane. That's awesome.
Right.
Do you think that there could be any better preparation for life as a poker pro than the childhood you had at playing those levels?
You know what's funny? I really think as a kid, playing all the games that I did, because I was playing, like, all the poker games really, really young, just playing cards, it just seemed like every day for so many hours a day that it really did help my mind. Like, even if it comes to a new game now, I'm pretty fast picking it up, you know, and really getting good at it.
Right.
It doesn't take me, it just seems like it doesn't take me as long as it does a lot of people.
Yeah, now some of those games you said you played were AC Ducey in Chicago, and you said you picked up a lot of new games. Now, what's your favorite game now besides No Limit Hold'em?
You know what my favorite game is now, and you guys are going to laugh, is Hearts, actually. The one playing, like, me and, like, Gavin Smith and Lane Flack and a couple other people have been playing Hearts. We've been playing, like, pretty high stakes, like $100 a point, and you got to pay, like, every person below you.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Like, yeah, and we've just been having, like, marathon sessions at it. That's our new favorite game to play.
Oh, my God. Now, I was going to ask you if you wanted to see, like, AC Ducey become a bracelet event, but now I'm thinking Hearts, right?
Yeah. AC Ducey is a very fun game. I've actually had, we've had a few games at my house where AC Ducey isn't a good game to play, like, because it seems like now, like, it was a lot more fun when I was younger, but now it just seems like the pots get just way too big. Like, the pots can just get, like, we've played it a couple of times, and, like, we're, like, you know, you start feeling bad for people, like, if they lose, like, I mean, it's just, the pots can just get way too big.
You know, when I was 8, I lost my entire net worth playing AC Ducey. You know, I heard on television that you considered short stack play one of your weaknesses. I think Norman Chad said it. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I do. I'm way too, I try too hard to get a big stack.
Okay.
Way too hard. And I know it's one of my weaknesses, and I have a hard time sitting there and just waiting things out and waiting for the perfect spot. I like to, and I know it, and I try to get in there way too much, just try to get all the money in and see what happens.
Now, it's because that you play so aggressively that it's hard to play when you don't have the ammunition to fire back? Is that why, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would say that's exactly why.
So what would you consider your best attribute then as a poker player?
My big stack play.
Okay.
Usually, except for the main event this year, if I can really get a big stack, I can usually do something with it. It's by far one of my strengths.
Where are you going from here? What do you have planned for your next few events and for this year?
I started thinking about it. I think I'm going to go play the circuit event at Reno. I think is going to be my next one. And then there's the five diamond coming at the Bellagio.
Okay.
I would have to see those. Other than that, I'm skipping Foxwoods this week. I'm not going to do that one.
Now, is that because of the travel or because you just need a break or what?
Yeah, a little bit of a break. There was a lot going on here with the Caesars events and right. The Bellagio events. And traveling can really take a toll on you.
All right, well, Brandon, hey, thanks for taking the time with us today. Enjoy your heart game, and hope to hear from you soon.
All right, thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
Do you want to reach thousands of poker players in more than 30 countries around the world? The award-winning Annie Up podcast is your best bet. Go to annieupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335 to explore advertising opportunities starting at just $100.
And would you like to read Annie Up Magazine? Go to annieupmagazine.com and subscribe for just $25 a year.
This is Daniel Negreanu of FullContactPoker.com. You're listening to Ante Up.
Today's Hand of the Week brought to you by GreatPokerHands.com. Chris, you can go to GreatPokerHands.com and correct the single biggest mistake made by Texas Hold'em players, and that is pre-flop hand selection.
I love them.
These lovely cards you can order for $20 a set, and they will tell you how to play your hands pre-flop. And if you use the coupon code ANTI, you get an additional 20% off your order.
I love it. I feel like we've made it when people use our names as the code. Isn't that the coolest thing? And I love they give our listeners a deal. I love that.
Absolutely. And one of our listeners got a great deal because he's going to get a free set of these great cards. And
Sweet.
That is Vic from Navarre, Florida.
Sweet.
Now, this is our first Hand of the Week from a person
reader
who found us through the magazine rather than the podcast. And has now become apparently a podcast listener since he's sending us Hands of the Week.
That is awesome.
See, we're moving. We're making inroads.
We're spreading like a virus.
all right. So anyhow, and we're also fond lately, and we're going to get back to just the normal boring Hands of the Week.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we like to find twist.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of twist here. So here's Vic's hand. It's from a $2, $5 no-limit hold'em cash game at Caesar's Palace.
Excellent.
Out in Vegas, and it's during the World Series of Poker, so, you know, big action.
Yes, right? Of course.
People got just money just falling out of their pockets.
Yeah, it's just dripping out of them.
So he says it's several hours in, and it's early in the morning, and he's the big stack at the table with $2,000, Chris.
Well, they're going to be hitting Vic up for a loan.
Yeah, exactly. That's our entire Annie Up bank account there, right?
Wow.
There. And, of course, he says this means nothing. Thanks, Vic.
Yeah.
We appreciate
that's
that.
That's great.
Nothing since Caesar's Palace did not have a cap on their buy-in for that game. Wild game. 2-5, no limit.
No cap.
Here in Florida, $100. Caesar's Palace, you could drive the RV up there.
And you can see why he's going out there then.
All right. So he said about an hour earlier, he noticed that one of the cards is marked.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they have the Shuffle Masters out there, and you know, it's one of the a lot of people like the Shuffle Masters. It keeps the game going faster, the dealer or something to mess it up. But one of the things is those cards get nicked in.
Always
there,
get
right?
nicked, yeah. Yep. Or put in backwards and bent, and they're always ruined.
All right, so we say you noticed a line on the back of the Queen of Spades. So we mentioned it to the dealer, and the brush brought over a fresh Queen of Spades.
Okay.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
No problem, right?
Yeah.
30 minutes later, though, Chris, he points out that another card is marked in the same fashion.
Hmm.
As luck would have it, it's the Queen of Spades.
Oh.
That lady is just...
She's
crazy today.
Loving the shuffler.
All right, so the brush comes over, gives him another Queen of Spades. All right, well, pretty soon we're going to get to a Hand of the Week here, but this is a good setup for it, right?
Yes.
All right, now the very next deal, he picks up the Eight of Hearts. This is our hero, Vic, right? And he notices the back has the same freaking mark.
Oh, my God.
You shuffle things.
The faulty machine.
Every once in a while, you get a bad one.
Yep.
So he says at the end of the hand, he points out the dealer, and at this point, they've called the brush over twice to replace the cards, and his request is ignored.
Wow.
So there's a marked card in the...
So now he knows a marked card.
So, you know, we can go on forever about what we should do in this situation, but this is a hand of the week, so we're going to stick to the hand, right?
Right.
Okay. So he says, time passes, a new player sits down, buys in for $1,000.
Sweet.
And then puts his bankroll on top of his chips, Chris.
Hmm.
He estimates it's about 10K sitting on top of the 1K in chips.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
We need to move to Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so a few hands in, our hero Vic picks up the five of hearts, five of diamonds on the button.
Okay.
All right, or the puck.
Okay.
Been getting great starting hands and raises to $25. So a 5x raise on the button.
That's about right for a game like this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. You're not going to get any respect for anything less than that, right?
Right, that's correct.
Particularly with the guy sitting there with 11K.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good raise.
All right, so everybody drops except for Mr. 10K, and he notices that one of the cards is the marked 8 of hearts.
In the guy's hand?
Yes.
Whoa. Well, now you can't really, you know what? You can't really say that's the card, though, because this machine is marking so many cards. How do you know that that one's another marked card?
That's a very good part. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, that's one of the great dilemmas in this situation.
See, this way you got to be completely honest.
Yeah. All right. Now, he's also in a situation where he's been, a little, was it Bo Sheep?
Bo Peep?
Bo Peep. Bo Peep, not Bo Sheep. Bo Peep had a sheep, right?
Yes.
Okay.
She lost him. Just like he's probably
going to. Crying Wolf. Crying Wolf. That's who it
just
is.
Just like he's going to lose crying his hand, wolf. Probably. Oh, Crying Wolf.
I get all my nursery rhymes messed up.
Oh, man. Well,
he pointed out two of these, and they ignored the last time, so
yeah.
It's a weird situation to be in there, right?
Yeah. What do you do?
Okay. The flop now is the Ace of Clubs. 7 of spades, 2 of diamonds.
Okay, I'm going to repeat it just to make sure.
Exactly, because I don't enunciate correctly.
Ace of clubs, 7 of spades, 2 of diamonds.
Exactly, and our opponent, we believe, has the marked 8 of hearts.
Wow.
Okay. And, of course, we have 5-5.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Our hero, who acts first, obviously because we're on the button, leads out for $50 into the pot.
Wait a minute. We're on the button and we act first?
No, our opponent.
I thought you said our hero.
No, our opponent.
I'm gonna play that one back and listen. I thought you said the hero.
Yeah. I'm wrong. But our opponent that leads out because we're on the button.
And he bets about pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
$50.
Okay.
All right. What do you do here, Chris?
I fold.
You fold.
Just because I know the 8 doesn't mean he doesn't have the 8-7 of hearts or the ace 8 of hearts. I'm out of here. I'm done with the hand. Not that I'm that tight, but really, there's 2 over cards. You don't know what the other card is. So even if you do know for sure, it could be pocket eights. And that's a good flop for pocket eights, too. So
yes,
there is a window of hands here that's wide open. I think I just lay it down. This guy's got me covered. Why would I want to risk anything on a pair of fives?
Oh, but he's got you covered, though, so you could double up.
Yeah, well, you can lose it pretty quick, too.
Yeah, it's an action game. 2-5, no limbo with no cap.
Yeah. All right. Well, I told you what I would do. What would you do, Mr. Moneybags?
Oh, I would not be singing a 2-5, no limbo game with no cap, so.
You'd be watching me from the side saying, fold, fold.
I'd be over at that crappy 4-8 horse game where they have a time break.
Yeah, he could have pocket eights, he could have 7-8, he could have ace 8 hearts, he could have any ace 8.
Or he could have everything, and we just misread the mark on the card.
Yes, he could have pocket aces, and one of the aces is marked, and we don't even know it. Of course, he wouldn't have bet a set there, but I'm just using that as an example.
Exactly. Okay, all right, well, for giggles, our hero here raises to 150, and I'm not saying he did it for giggles, I'm saying
we're giggling.
We would not be in this situation.
Yes.
But he raises to 150,
and
his intention is to pick up the pot right then or steal it on 4th Street.
Wow.
So, you know, he's playing that second level there.
Right, yep.
Not playing the cards on the table. He's playing the situation.
Yeah, he's playing the situation. I mean, it's fine. If you got to beat in this guy and you think that he truly only has, like, you know, rags there, that's fine. But he's got to have something to call with the 8 of hearts in his hand, you know, to call the raise. So it's got to be, like, pocket 8s. It could be 9-8, and he's trying to steal it.
Yeah, if it's pocket 8s, a raise could probably get him off. You raise pre-flop, and then there's an ace on the board.
But let's look at
it
this way.
You, right?
Is it really worth it to re-raise this guy another 100 more to win 75 when you only have his pocket fives, and this guy calls, you're done with the hand anyway, right? So,
well, no, I mean, or the intention to steal on 4th Street, Vic said. So,
yeah,
you know, if he gets a call here, then he can make another bet on the turn.
But I tell you what, a call is scary. If this guy calls, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, you know? I think in general we want to fold here or
but he's
going to
steal it on
4th
Street,
you
know. So I mean he's intending on getting the 4th Street, which
exactly.
means it's going to be a call.
Exactly.
Pretty scary stuff here, and I realize I'm only a level 1 player, so. what happens now? Does the guy call?
Yes, there is a call, of course. It makes for a better hand of the week,
yeah,
right?
Well, no, I thought he might raise again. Then we'll see how really crazy Vic is with his $2,000. Because if I tell you what, if he's
well,
that crazy,
that
I'm going to be hitting him up.
Now, and now it's he's 175 down from that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right, so the turn is the 4 of clubs.
Okay.
All right, so we have an ace of clubs, a 7 of the spades, a 2 of diamonds, and a 4 of clubs. So now we have a gut shot.
Wheel draw. It's a good card for us if we think the ace and the 7 didn't help him.
Yeah, it gives us a little more cover if we want to continue this bluff.
Yes.
Now it becomes a semi-bluff.
Yes. in the weakest argument ever, it's
but
a semi-bluff.
But there's something there.
Yes,
there's something
there.
There
is something there.
All right, so our opponent leads out for 150.
Yeah, we're done.
He wasn't scared, Chris.
How are you going to steal his hand now? Right? I mean, you're going to have to commit another 500 to try to steal this hand with a pocket fives? I would have been done a long time ago. But, okay, so what do? There's no way we raise here, right? We raise?
Of course. It's the hand of the week, Chris.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that's raise. He could try to steal it on the river with position.
But he's already floated once to try to steal on the fourth.
All right, so he's going to raise again.
Raises to 600.
Oh, man. Holy cow.
I mean, put him for the test here. I mean, that's a 4X raise there.
If a guy calls, how could you? Oh, man. This guy's like Stu Unger here. He's going to fire three barrels with fives? Incredible.
Hey, have no fear.
Okay. So what does our opponent do?
He goes into the tank, Chris.
He's got to have an ace.
See, now we got him thinking.
He's got to have eights or an ace.
We got him thinking.
All right. We got him thinking, but I don't know. I risked a lot of money to make someone think. You know, I could just ask somebody a question and they'll think, and it won't cost me $800. All right, so I'm dying to know.
All right, now here's where the hand gets interesting. You already thought it was interesting, right?
Oh, it was interesting when you said it was Vic from Florida. I mean, and then you told me how much money he had. I got all excited. I'm real interested.
All right, so this guy has been swimming in the tank for 3 or 4 minutes. Okay?
Jeez, we call a clock on him.
And what Vic does is he fesses up that he knows that the whole card is the Eight of Hearts.
He says it to him?
He says it to him.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Although, it could work against him because it might not be the Eight of Hearts.
Yes, exactly. Now, that's he also mentioned that he mentioned the dealer several hands ago, but ignored it. So he's letting people know, hey, I'm not not playing. Yeah, I tried to get it out of the hand, out of the deck, and dealer would have none of it.
Oh, man. How did the guy react?
All right. So first, the dealer said the card would be placed after the hand, but the card plays in this hand, of course. Not going to give him a new card.
Wow.
So Mr. 10K continues to tank, and then he calls the 600.
Oh, man. This is awesome. God, I wish I read this email before I came here so I knew what the hell I was talking about, but I didn't.
All right, so I'm going to pause here for a minute because this is a pretty interesting situation here, right?
Yeah, don't pause too long, though. Our show's only an hour long.
We're running a little bit of a bluff here, semi-bluff. We're running it off the fact that we know one of the cards because of the mark.
Right.
Now we've told the guy that we know it. The dealer admits that he didn't take it out and is going to replace it. Now we're totally in mind games here.
Yeah, because it's all different kinds of levels you could be thinking now. You know, is he saying it to me because he wants
me
to fold? Because,
exactly. Isn't that great?
There's all kinds of things you could... Wow, this is pretty crazy.
But he put 600 in.
That's what I mean, is that now he's saying that because he's worried, you know, or not. Oh, wow, this is pretty sick. So the guy calls.
He calls the 600.
And we go to the river.
And now, Chris, no, before the river.
Uh-huh.
Before the river, our opponent throws his entire roll into the pot.
That's awesome. Wow. So wait, he called and then shoved?
Called and then
so
shoved.
So in the dark.
Yes.
Wow. Come
this
on.
This is sick. I love it.
Come on, three.
This never happens in the home game.
I'm hoping
I'm
going to
try it, though. I'm going to throw a couple pretzel rods in. I'm all in.
Do it when you're in hand with me.
All right.
So I'm rooting for a three here on the river.
Yeah. He says he's hoping for a five, but yeah, three would be better.
Three or a five.
Yeah. No such luck. We miss.
Oh, man.
All right. Now, obviously, we don't have to call this a huge bet. You know, a bit dark. So,
right.
Fortunately, Vic says, all right, I'm done with his hand and mucks.
And mucks.
And what is our opponent turnover?
8-8.
Ace of spades.
Uh huh.
Eight of hearts.
Yeah, that's what I said right from the beginning. Had to be ace 8 then, and then you're screwed. Just because you knew one card, the other card could match up with the ace or the seven.
Wow, but this guy threw his entire roll in there.
Or just
the top pair with an eight kicker, and the opponent knew that he had an eight and was putting him to a test.
See, you knew it was a wild game. That's awesome.
Now, of course, Vic wants to know now, after his raise on the turn, what could I have done differently, if anything, to get Mr. 10Ks to muck? I'm having a feeling nothing.
Yeah, unless...
It seems like this guy was a gambler and...
The only way you can get him to fold, maybe, is if you put all your money in on the turn instead of just the 600, because then it's putting him to a test and you're not revealing that you knew it was the eight of hearts. You know, because I think that might have helped him. I don't know. Because if you knew that it was the Eight of Hearts and you couldn't be losing at that point, why would you tell him? So I think that by telling him you knew it was the Eight of Hearts, he read it to be, well, if you knew that you could beat me, why would you let me know that I have to fold here?
Ooh, very good.
Right? Because if you have Ace King and you know the best hand he could possibly have is Ace Eight or Pocket Eights there, then you know you have the best hand. And why would you tell him that you have the best hand? So he must have read that as a way of you trying to make him fold. And that's why you put it all in, because you knew you couldn't beat him. Because there's no, why would you, the only way you could lose is if you had, what was on the river again?
We don't know. It just, he missed.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever the river was, you mean, unless you made two pair on the river, there's no way he's losing there, because why would you tell him that you have a better hand than him there when you're going
to
make,
you know, unless you're on level six and you try to make him think all that.
Well, I the guy could afford it, obviously. He had 11 grand in front of him.
Exactly.
And he played it brilliantly, really.
Wow.
So, sorry, Vic. That was crazy, but you know what? You probably shouldn't have played that hand.
Well, good news, Vic, is you'll find out whether you should have played that hand or not when a great deck of great PokerHands.com strategy cards come to you in your mail. And thank you for in advance for sending us your address. And those will be shipped out pretty soon.
Excellent.
And send your hands of the week to podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com. And you too might be picked to win some great PokerHands.com cards.
You are a fantastic salesman.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad you're in charge of all that.
Exactly.
I want to thank Brandon Cantu for joining us today. Great guest, funny kid. And I wish him all the best success in the world. And Scott, another good show.
They are always wonderful when I'm here, but thank you.
Hey, we can stand each other a little longer in the same room today. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We will see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
Our hero who acts first, obviously, because we're on the button.